So moms, we've got some pretty flowers here at the end of service. Feel free to take one. You want to plant that and make it look good. I know you guys, a lot of you have that special touch that can do that. If I touch it, they'll probably die. But you guys can make it happen. All right. Also, just want to keep the Acuff family in our prayers and all the extended family there as well. Sharon's mother, Lois, passed away. And so we want to keep them in our prayer, okay, and encourage them as we can. All right, I think that's it. So kids' church, age 3 through grade 4. See you later. If you have a Bible with you or a Bible app, you could turn to John chapter 2, and I'll get there in just a little bit. But I thought I'd start with some words of wisdom from a mother. This is a mother in San Diego gave some words of wisdom a while back. And she says, there is no such thing as child-proofing your house. If you spray hairspray on dust bunnies and run over them with rollerblades, they ignite. A four-year-old's voice is louder than 200 adults in a crowded restaurant. If you hook a dog leash over a ceiling fan, neither the motor nor the ceiling is strong enough to rotate a 42-pound boy wearing a Superman cape. A ceiling fan is strong enough, however, to spread paint on all four walls of a 20 by 20 room. You should not throw baseballs up when the ceiling fan is on, because a ceiling fan can hit a baseball a long way. Windows will not stop a baseball hit by a ceiling fan. When you hear the toilet flush and the words, uh-oh, it's already too late. If you use a waterbed as home plate while wearing baseball shoes, it does not leak, it explodes. A king-size waterbed holds enough water to fill a 2,000-square-feet house 1 inch deep. No matter how much Jell-O you put in a swimming pool, you still can't walk on water. Always look in the oven before you turn it on because plastic toys don't like ovens. The spin cycle on the washing machine does not make earthworms dizzy. It will, however, make cats dizzy. Cats throw up twice their body weight when dizzy. And finally, quiet does not necessarily mean don't worry. Isn't that the truth? So just some fun for Mother's Day. Some of those probably sound familiar. And some of those you're just saying, hallelujah, it didn't happen to me. All right. This morning I want to talk about the invitation. And we're in John chapter 2. Take a look at the first 11 verses here. Would you please stand? We want to honor the word of God. I'll read. You can follow along. And mine at the title says, Jesus changes water to wine. And then in verse 1 it says, on the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now. This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. You may be seated. Well, let's start off simply by noting that Jesus attended a wedding. Since he was invited, this must have been a family or a friend's wedding. And I mentioned that just to say Jesus was involved in normal everyday life. I mean, some of us were at a wedding yesterday, just part of life. And Jesus was there. And if you're a believer, you're part of the family and you are a friend of his. And he wants to be involved in your normal life as well. Now, this is also the first recorded miracle that Jesus performed. And it all began with a mother's request. Where it started. She comes to Jesus in verse 3 and says, they have no more wine. Now, that was a big concern in their day. You see, weddings in those days would include up to 7 days of celebration. And to run out of food or drink would be considered a major faux pas. You're in trouble, okay? You're going to look bad. And Mary realized what was happening, and she responded. And notice the first word that she used was they. Sounds like a lot of moms that I know, selfishly focusing on the needs of others. Doesn't that sound like a mom to you? So you get the picture that perhaps she wanted to make sure her son possessed that same trait, and she wanted him to be selfless as well. Moms, isn't that a good quality for your kids to have? And Philippians 2:4 tells all of us, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. You can tell by the interaction that she was expecting him to do something about the situation. The way it's worded here, it's very likely that she was there at the wedding and was kind of helping out. That's just kind of the picture you get. And she was helping to serve, and she asked Jesus to also be a servant and do something about the situation. Same thing for all of us. We're called to be servants. 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Do you have any gifts or talents or skills? Really? You don't have any? Okay, I'm looking around. I know some of you do. I know what they are even. Use those to serve others. And then the story as it progresses, it sort of feels like maybe we missed out on something. Because they have this conversation and Jesus responds. And then Mary simply says in verse 5, do whatever he tells you to do. Okay? And so maybe there was some unspoken communication between them, or maybe Mary just knew that Jesus would do something. We're not sure. And then she tells the servants to do whatever Jesus said, and she was asking her son to lead. She wanted him to be significant, and I think most moms would say that about their kids. We want them to be selfless. We want them to be servants. We'd love it if they would be significant, do something important in life. And don't forget that she knew that God had a plan for Jesus and that God had said that he would be great. And no doubt she wanted to see that fulfilled in her son. There was a prophecy about her son that he would be great and he would be used of God. And she wanted to see that come to pass. So selfless, servant, significant. Jesus was the Son of God. And so he was definitely all of these things. Those things describe Jesus, wouldn't you agree? However, Jesus was also a young man. And in Hebrews 5:8, it says that he learned obedience. Sometimes we forget that he was born and he grew up just like we do, and he learned obedience. And I believe that God used his mother to help Jesus be shaped into the person he was called to be. And so his mother's request was important. And then let's talk about the Lord's response. In verse 4, Jesus says, my time has not yet come. Jesus wasn't quite ready to reveal himself and get his ministry started. Now, after this, things start flicking right away, and you see Jesus doing all kinds of things. But at this point, she comes to him asking him to do something, and he says, my time's not yet. I think that's a reminder for us that God works in his own timing in our lives. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, we quote this one a lot. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And he talks about how they're higher than our. And even though it wasn't fully the right time, Jesus still responded to his mother's request, and he honored her. And he was willing to work behind the scenes. You see, here in the next few chapters, you'll see he starts becoming publicly recognized. But here, in response to his mother, he does something significant and powerful, but he's willing to keep it on the down low. Work behind the scenes, but he wants to honor his mother. And then verse 7, he tells us what he does. He tells the servants, go fill the jars with water. Now, these were jars used for ceremonial washing, which probably meant foot washing. They were probably normally used for foot washing. And Jesus is preparing to do a miracle with these jars. So here we begin to see some symbolism as Jesus takes something ordinary and does something extraordinary with it. 1 Corinthians 1:25 and following says the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. And then it says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standard. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are so that no one may boast before him. God loves to take ordinary things and do extraordinary things with them. God loves to take ordinary people and do extraordinary works through them. That ought to say something to you. Because I think most people look at themselves as just an ordinary person. Now, there's a few that think a little higher of themselves than they ought. They need to get over that. And there's a few that think of themselves lower than they are. And they need to get over that. We're all just ordinary people. And yet God wants to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. That's the way God works. In fact, we see an example of this in Acts chapter 4 when the disciples are being questioned. And then here's the response of the people who are questioning them. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Unschooled, ordinary men, and yet they're astonishing the people around them. And it's all because they had been with Jesus. Like the jars being used for a miracle, he still does this work today, taking ordinary people, doing extraordinary works through them. Just by spending time with Jesus, you can become a better person with courage and wisdom beyond your own ability. So there's symbolism in the jars. There's also symbolism in the water. We are to be washed in the water of the Word. Ephesians 5:26 talks about that. And I believe reading the Word has a cleansing effect on us. Just reading the Word, there's a cleansing effect. And when we fill up on the Word of God, we are preparing to be used of God to do something for the glory of God. We need the water of the Word. You see, that plain, simple water became wine. And God changes things. Aren't you glad for that? God changes things. And filling up on his word can transform us. There's power in the word of God. There's power. Isaiah 55:11 speaking of the word of God, says, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. That's God speaking. And then Hebrews 4:12 talks about the word of God being living and active. And 1 Thessalonians 2:13 speaks of the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. There's power in the word of God. Like water for life, we need the word of God for our spiritual life. Church, if you're not filling up on the word of God, you're drying out. You're dying. How long can you live without water? A few days, right? Spiritually, you need the water of the Word. And God's Word prepares us for His purposes. Now let's talk about the wine. Wine has several symbolic meanings in Scripture. The first one is kind of the same as the water. It's cleansing, because as when we do, when we celebrate communion and we pass the trays around, we understand that the wine or the drink represents the blood of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 11:25. But then in Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, it speaks of being washed and purified in the blood. And so there's cleansing symbolism in the wine. There's also comfort and cure symbolized in the wine. In 2 Samuel 16:2, it speaks about wine being provided to refresh people who become exhausted. In 1 Timothy 5:23, the Apostle Paul, it tells Timothy to use a little wine because of his stomach and his frequent illnesses. And so there's this idea that it'll help you feel better. Now, I know I've got to walk carefully here, because I'm not promoting drinking. Okay? Personally, I don't drink at all. But the Bible does give us some indication that there are some benefits in certain cases. But mostly what I'm focusing on is the symbolic nature of the wine. It cleanses, it comforts, it cures. And then there's charisma represented in the wine. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk on wine, instead be filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit is charisma. It's the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, wine can symbolize celebration. Here we have it in the wedding and at parties and so forth. There's celebration there. And so just as Jesus turned the water into wine, the Lord wants to fill us with the Word of God and then transform us, bringing cleansing, comfort, and cure, giving us the charisma or gifts of the Spirit, and ultimately to celebrate the joy of salvation and eternal life, because God changes things. So we are like the jars that were used for a miracle, and we need to be filled with the Word of God and then be transformed into something powerful to be used by the Lord. But we're also like the servant in the story. Let's talk about the servant's responsibility. The servants, that's you and me. Verse 5 says, do whatever he tells you to do. That's our responsibility. Do whatever he tells you to do. So follow Christ, obey him. Real simple. I don't think I need to elaborate much on that, except I'll give you James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So follow Christ obediently. And then verse 7 shows their response. They filled the jars to the brim. And I love that. They didn't just pour some water in, but they filled them to the brim. To me, that speaks of being fervent. They went all out. If Jesus says, fill the jars, I'm not just going to put a little in there. I'm going to fill her clear up. And they did. Romans 12:11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Church, you know, we've been talking about renewal. And we need to fan to flame the work of God. sometimes the fire starts to go out. Maybe I'm the only one. All of you are totally blazing hot fires, and I'm the only one that ever experienced. Okay, so I think we're on the same page, right? We know what it is to have the fire of God kind of dwindle down. We know, we understand that. But we can fan it back flame. Any of you ever have a campfire or a fireplace? It begins to go down. What do? Throw more wood on there and fan it, right? Give it some air. Church, we need to fan the flame and keep our spiritual fervor. Don't be satisfied with just a glowing embers, but let's stoke the fire. Keep our spiritual fervor. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. So let's not just be half-hearted here. Let's be wholehearted. Keep your spiritual fervor. And then the next thing we see in verse 8, Jesus tells them, draw some out and take it to the host. And they did. And I believe that represents having faith. I mean, clearly it represents obedience, but now their faith is going to be tested because they know they just drew some water out of some foot washing jars. And they're going to take it to the host to drink. So their faith is being tested. And yet they did what he said. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Boy, there's a whole lot of this life that doesn't make sense to me. How about you? There's a whole lot of things that I can't figure out. How about you? And yet, we can still trust God. He knows what he's doing. He's got a plan. And so we keep the faith. And I believe we should also step out in faith and share what we have received from God with others. They took a portion of this water that Jesus had them prepare. Now they're taking it to someone else. And so we need to share the word. We need to share the good news. We need to be a servant and follow Christ obediently, fervently, and with great faith. And don't keep it all to yourself, but take some and share it with others. And then we come to the end result. In verse 10, the host says, you have saved the best till now. The host reacted gladly. Okay? It made an impression on him. Even in the midst of the normal activities of life and a party, he noticed something unusual. Okay? Now let me paint the picture here. I don't know if you quite understand what's going on, but the idea was they're partying up to 7 days. And the tradition was you bring out the really good stuff first and let everybody get a little bit, tipsy. And then once they're tipsy, they won't notice that you bring out the watered down stuff. That's really kind of the picture that's painted here. And yet, since Jesus touched it, the very best stuff came out at the end. And they noticed it. And verse 11 says that Jesus revealed his glory. You see, when we follow the Lord and he brings real transformation in us, it will affect those around us and it will bring glory to Christ. It all began with a mother's request, which led to the Lord's miracle because he changes things. The servant simply obeyed him and it ended up making an impression and glorifying Christ. So let's invite the Lord to work in and through us, bringing miraculous change that results in his glory. Will you be the jar that will fill up on the water of the word? Will you? Will you be the servant who will faithfully obey Christ and keep your spiritual fervor and have faith? Will you be the servant? And will you you share that with others? And will you allow the Lord to do a miracle in you and through you? I thought that's the one that everybody would sign up for. That if God's going to do some miracles, I'd love it to be in me or through me. Wouldn't that be awesome? Takes jars that are willing to be filled up, transformed, and used for God's glory. Now, I'm going to make some observations before we wrap up here. In this story, Jesus honored his mom. We should too. In this story, Jesus worked behind the scenes, and I want you to know he's always at work, even when it's not obvious to you. Jesus worked in normal life situations, so be encouraged. God is always with you in normal, everyday life. And then Jesus does and gives the best, so it's worth following him. And then finally, Jesus improves stuff when he's invited. So invite him into every part of your life. Here he was, just simply invited to a wedding. He wasn't the minister in charge of the wedding. He wasn't the groom in the story. He's just a participant. And yet a miracle happened because he had been invited. There's some great stuff here for us to ponder on. Just by him being invited, a miracle took place. The church, let's be people who invite the Lord into our everyday life. And let's see some miracles take place just because we invited Jesus. I love it. Old stone jar. Used for dirty feet. Jesus changes it, does a miracle. Love that. It's all because of the invitation. So I asked the guys to put on a little music this morning. And I just want to take a little time before we dismiss and let's invite the Lord to be in our life. Invite the Lord to be in our church. Just invite the Lord back in. If you want to find a place here at the altar, you're welcome to do that. If you just want to stay there and pray, let's just take a little bit here and invite the Lord. Invitation today. Lord, I re-invite you into my life. And Lord, I want you in my life. Lord, I want to be the jar that you can use for your glory, that you can do a miracle through. As ordinary, as plain as I am, I'd love to be used by you, God. Lord, help us to fill up on your word. Prepare to be used by you. Lord, help us to be the servants who follow you wholeheartedly and keep our our spiritual fervor and keep our faith. Lord, we're asking that you would come make a visitation upon us. We've invited you. Come, Lord Jesus, and do a miracle here in Boone. Do a miracle in us. Bring refreshing and revival, we pray. We invite you. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord God, we welcome you. We want you. Lord, do a transformation in us. Renew us, I pray. And Lord, we recommit ourselves to you today. Lord, I think we ought to take it a step further. You're not just invited to be part of our life, but you are invited to be the head and the Lord of our life. We want you to run it. So we invite you to do that. Change us where we need to be changed. Stir a fresh work in us, I pray. Amen. May God's blessings on you. Have a great day. Moms, feel free to come and get a flowering plant there. God's blessings on you. Have a great week.